Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Luke, we're in Luke, chapter 2, verse 21 to verses... Verse 21. Okay, I was right the first time. 21 through about 36 or so, 38 or so. The passage is important for us for a couple of reasons, at least a couple of reasons. One is the early part of the passage reminds us of Jesus' Jewishness, okay? The code that Luke is giving there to our ears that we probably don't recognize is that Luke is saying, and by the way, Jesus was a practicing Jew. Jesus' parents were a practicing Jew, and so the rituals that they were going through were important rituals for them, and Jesus was Jewish. I hope that's not a news flash to anybody, okay, that Jesus was Jewish. Now, when we get to the section where his parents offer the offering, at the temple, there's a code there as well. You're supposed to be offering a lamb as the offering, as the sacrificial offering that's there. But you get dispensation if you're poor. You get dispensation if you're poor. And so what Luke is communicating is that Jesus' parents are poor. So they get this dispensation that's there. That's for that. Simeon is someone that you like to have in your church. We'd like to have Simeons and Annas in this church, and we have Simeons and Annas in this church. They're important there. They are clearly people that are devoted to their faith. And as we listen to this, you might ask yourself some questions as you hear it go by. Now, I am mindful of the fact that Simeon and Anna did not make a New Year's resolution. I got the idea it wasn't a New Year's resolution. But as you listen to this, you might ask yourself, what kind of commitment did they make? Because it's pretty substantial. All right? Luke 2, chapter 2, verses 21 to 38, and I'm on page 59 for those of you who'd like to read along in the Pew Bible. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. You recall back when I did the Joel about 5 weeks ago, I talked in there about the gift of the Holy Spirit would come down on men, women, free, slave, Gentile, Jew. This is a return to that theme that Luke is bringing up here for that. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon brought into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. And the Greek here is a little hard to translate. It could easily be she lived 84 years after this. This is the 84th year after his death. Okay, could easily be that, which would make her really old. Okay, she never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I'm a member of the Dimpledell Recreation Center, and one of the things that I make it a resolution not to do is to go to the Dimpledell Recreation Center the first week of January. The reason for that is a whole bunch of people out there make a New Year's resolution and they decide they're going to lose 15 pounds or 10 pounds or whatever else, and it lasts about a week, okay? And I can go over there about the 8th or so, and I can get back to my machine and my machines. And the Dimpledell Recreation Center has returned to normal. Everything's okay. Order has been restored. All of these people with weak resolutions have left, and they've gone somewhere else. I don't know where they've gone, but they're not there anymore, and I'm just selfish enough to be happy that they're not. Simeon and Anna don't make a New Year's resolution. They don't make a New Year's resolution in order to follow God and to be faithful to God. They rather make a resolution, a commitment at various phases in their lives to be upright, righteous, and faithful people. And they do it for a long time. They're not Dimpledell first week of January of the year kind of followers of this Yahweh. They are in for the long haul. They're there on a regular basis. Anna is there. This is where she lives. Now, the scripture tells us that she fasts there. She fasts and she never leaves. One has to assume she either gets somebody giving her some food occasionally, or she makes it out to the local Burger King to get something. Okay, but nonetheless, the picture that Luke gives us here is one of extreme faithfulness on the part of both of them. Maybe we should try to listen to what it is that's going on here. Simeon, in his talking, and Anna in her actions there. Now, Simeon, in his talking, we might want to ask ourselves a little bit about what's going on. We could talk for days, and I promised you I'd be out of here by 11. Mild laughter, mild humor. But we could talk for days about the whole passage, but I want to talk about two elements of what it is that Simeon has to say. First, in his pure speech, and then when he comes back and talks to Mary. The first one has to do with the commentary that he has there about the nature of what's going on. And you notice that who that message is transmitted to, who is going to receive the message of this child, this infant child. It's not only the Jews, it's going to be the Gentiles as well. Simeon clearly sees the fact that this Jesus message, this Jesus idea, this Jesus as Messiah is going to extend beyond the community there at the temple. It's going to be carried out into the world, out into the entire world. And Simeon is declaring that right up front. But he doesn't indicate that this is going to be particularly easy. He indicates that there's going to be some trials and tribulations along the way. There's going to be some rocky spots on the road. You know, sort of January the 8th for those who want to go lose 15 pounds at the Dimpledell Recreation Center. but it's going to be probably more than January 8th. It's going to be harder than January 8th. It's going to be much longer extended, and there'll be some rocky moments that are there. He even will turn to Mary later, and he will say, even your soul will be pierced by this child. Wow. A lot of power there in that. Now I think that the idea of today, January the 1st, where we're going to have this chance to make resolutions. And we're going to have a chance to sit down and say, you know, in 2017, I'm going to lose 15 pounds, and I'm going to be at Dimple Dale more than 8 days. I'm going to be there at least 15. Maybe even 22. Don't know. Don't know what those resolutions are. But I would think if you look at what the way Simeon in particular was talking there, he's talking to me, talking in my perception, at both a personal level and a corporate level. He's communicating the fact that this Jesus is going to come in and he's going to change individuals and he's going to make a change in the nature of the country, of the world that's around, a corporate change. So one of the questions I might want to ask you is, what are you going to do individually in 2017 to be a better person of faith, to be a better disciple, to be a better person to be part of Hilltop in some kind of way? Did you know that here in this church, we have a number of people who come in on Monday night and take music theory lessons from Roberta, and they come in on Friday nights and they take voice lessons from a professional singing professor from the University of Utah. Why do they do that? They do that so they can become better musicians and they can make your appreciation of the glory of God made present in music better. Better. And as I hear them sing in the choir, they are better now than they were 1 year ago. What's yours? See, that's an example of where they've worked hard as individuals. They work hard as individuals. Why? To make the corporate enterprise called Hilltop a better place. And they didn't quit on the 8th of January. They've been hanging with this for at least a year, maybe longer. They've been doing this for quite a while. And that's the kind of New Year's resolution that you want to make. So what's yours? What's your individual New Year's resolution that you need to make so that you can be like Simeon at some point in time and start to see the infancy of this resolution, of this commitment that you've made to God, that you'll hold the course on something. And realize that Jesus, he's not looking at an adult Jesus. He's looking at a Jesus that's about 40 days old because Mary is purified at the 40th day according to Leviticus 12. Okay? He's looking at a very, very small infant. And he's able to see in this what is going to happen next. All right? He has a vision to this. And so part of his resolution, part of his commitment to God has been realized, and he starts to see it in his infancy. By the way, this passage is wonderful for funerals because it's actually, he's saying, it's okay now for me to go. It's okay now for me to depart. It's okay for me to be taken in grace by you, God, because I've now seen that your glory is going to be realized at some future way, some future state. So you have in this scene, a little digression here, you have in this scene a combination of remembrance, what God has done in the past, and anticipation of what God's going to do in the future. We do that every Sunday, by the way. That we have that every Sunday, we have this collision of time. In the now, we focus on both the past and the future in the now. We try to bring those three things together every single week. And Simeon's doing that right here. You can see that played out. So Simeon is a good example for us at both an individual level and a corporate level. What are you going to do in 2017 that on the 31st of December, you might check in and say, this is what I committed to do on the 1st of January, and this is how I succeeded in that in some kind of way. And you want to remember that what Simeon said, both in his little speech first about his recognition and then his sidebar to Mary is that you need to make sure that whatever we're trying to do, it's not focused on the club. It's not going to end up being an internal action. All right? It's got to have the opportunity to carry God's word out into the world in some kind of way. What are you going to do? And then the other part of that is, by the way, is that it may be a little awkward. It may be a little hard. It may be a little bump in the road. All right? And you have to stop and pause and say, regather yourself and get yourself refocused on where you're going to carry that. Because there are going to be bumps in the road. Simple fact. And then the third thing to this is the way he concludes it with the nature of how her soul is going to be pierced. How is your soul pierced by Jesus? In what way is your soul pierced by Jesus? Because that may be the answer to your resolution question. How it is that your soul is pierced. Because the way your soul is pierced leads you to maybe decide what you're going to do. My soul was pierced in April of 1991 when I probably heard my 10,000th sermon. And somewhere, it wasn't really 10,000, but it was a high number. And all of a sudden, I began to hear about Jesus touching the lepers and how countercultural that was, and how it was that the culture of that day said those lepers deserved to be sick. They deserved it. And the pastor stood up there and said they didn't. What Jesus was doing was saying they didn't deserve it. That was my soul being pierced. And it's affected me for the next 25 years of how I understand the scripture. How is your soul pierced by Jesus? Wesley would often have a watch night service on December 31st. And he would ask people to do various things. They would have love feast, and there was no set format. You had to only do it one way. Pull your hymnals out. I want you to turn to 607, page number 607 in your hymnal. And at that watch night service, they would sort of make an attempt to recommit who they were. You might think of it as an 18th century resolution, New Year's resolution. It's this idea of attempting to look at what God has done, is doing, and will do, and then they make this commitment to that. Now, we've done this several times, and I ask you to pull it out. We're not going to read it as a liturgy. I'm going to read a verse like, "I am no longer my own, but thine." And then I want you to repeat that back quietly to yourself. Not necessarily loud, but just repeat it back to yourself, okay? And I will give you time to say that quietly, but let there be a little murmur in the background, okay? But this is a covenant prayer, and so put your feet square on the ground, get yourself sort of focused, this is a prayer, and repeat after me quietly and gently. Your 2017 New Year's resolution, whether you know it or not. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine, so be it. and the covenant which I have made on earth. Let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. That's a powerful prayer, isn't it? Isn't that powerful? You sort of ask the question, did John Wesley get that from Simeon, or did Simeon get that from John Wesley? I think I know the answer. Simeon lived his life according to that prayer. He lived it. I want us to enter into a new way of church in 2017, based upon the old, in anticipation of a future, a different future, a new future. And I want us to do that with Simeon's words here echoing in our mind. This is the fact that we want to take the message to all people. We understand that there's going to be bumps in the road. And we start this with understanding that our souls are pierced by Jesus in some kind of way that sets us off into a place where we can do this resolution kind of work. The choir sang a piece for us today. I almost took Roberta's copy of the music over there. I didn't realize that. That was a dangerous moment over there. But the Carol of the Light, we just sang. And the invitation was to what? It's almost like I'm saying I resolve to be a beacon. I resolve to be a light. And then may you resolve that the light of Christ be a beacon to you. May the beacon light your way. It's a resolution. May the light send you forth. May the light send you forth. May it journey at your side. May the love of the Christ child be your guide. Not just at Christmas. Not just at Christmas, but the whole year. Howard Thurman is one of my favorite black theologians. And we sang a piece 2 years ago from this poem. It's when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star of the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. What's your resolution for 2017? How is your soul pierced? How is it that we are going to be a community made up of individuals that are going to agree to change, but at the same time, make the community just a little better? Here's an invitation for all of us. Wherever you feel you fall on the political spectrum, my invitation for all of us in 2017 is to learn how to listen to people we don't agree with. Learn how to listen to people we don't agree with. Learn how to listen to them and try to seek wisdom or seek understanding. I hope you have other resolutions besides that one. But I would say to you, one of the most important things that we can do as individuals and as a people is by trying to understand why other people may take a position opposite of the one that we take. Whether it's voting in a lesbian bishop to be the bishop of the Rocky Mountain Conference, or it's electing a person to be president whose character we find problematic. All right? My guess is that what I just said affects everybody in the group at least at one level. Figure out which one it is and figure out a way to try to learn how to listen to them. Simeon listened to the Holy Spirit. Anna listened to the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They found a way to go proclaim this news in a way that was different than what they expected. It was going to be rocky along the way. It was going to be bumpy on that road. The message was for everybody. The message was for everybody. But at the end of the day, how their soul was pierced would be what would set them into motion. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come in on this New Year's Day, ready to make resolutions for who we're going to be and how we're going to be that kind of person for your year. Let us not be Dimple Dell people that show up for 1 week and then quit because it gets tough. Let us be people like Simeon and Anna who are in for the long haul and the long stay for the purposes of taking your glory and making your kingdom larger in the world. And all of God's children say, Amen. And we will do that when there is a...
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.